Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us. You may be seated and take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John. That's correct. 1 John. Just so we're all on the same page, we're in 1 John. And chapter number 2. And we'll read, let's start reading in verse 18. We started there last week, but we'll read verse 18 and read down to verse number 23. We're kind of making our way slowly through here. But John said this in 1 John 2, starting verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So we're making our way very slowly through this passage. We talked last week a little bit about all of these voices that surround us, that are calling out to us, that we hear on a regular basis, and that we have to be careful with the voices that we listen to. Why? Because there may be some that are true and there are some that are false. So we have to be very discerning and very careful about the kind of voices that we listen to. And we need to be able to have that wisdom and that discernment to be able to differentiate between what is true and what is false. And sometimes we wonder how we can do that, how we can have that discernment, how we're able to differentiate between what seems true but is not true and then that which is really true. And John gives us the answer here in this passage of how we differentiate those things and how we discern between those things. And the point is that we need to be able to filter what we hear, and we need to think critically, we said that last week, and be grounded in the truth, that is the truth of the Word of God. And that's what John is addressing here in his passage. Remember, he's talking about these things that would pull us away from Christ. He's moving towards this idea of abiding in Christ, and there's these certain things that pull us away, whether it's worldly things, we looked at that a few weeks ago, or false teachers, or deception. Those things desire to pull us away from Christ. So we looked last week at the danger of deception, these false teachers that come in, this spirit of Antichrist. John told us that there were people in the church that were there to deceive. There were those that were not genuinely Christian. He says they were not of us. These are the Antichrist, those that are in opposition to Christ. They're not of us, and they went out. They proved that they were not real. They proved that they were not genuine because they went out. They weren't of us. If they were of us, John says they would have stayed, but the very fact that they went out from us shows to us that these people were never really with us. I know there's a lot of with us and out of us in there. It can be a little confusing. But the idea is if they went out, and because they went out, they proved that they were not genuine Christians. They were not of us. They never belonged with us. They are false teachers. They are deceivers. And John's warning is to be careful of these ones, to be discerning of these false teachers. But I want to move just on a little bit past that tonight and contrast that deception, these false teachers, these deceivers with the truth, because there is a way that we can know the truth. And that's what John gets into here in this passage. And so I want you to see, we looked at the danger of deception, and tonight we're going to look at the anointing of truth. This is really, I said point one, it's really point two. I just didn't finish it last week, but it's our first point tonight. But the anointing of truth, and that is verse 20 through 23. And so we'll start here in verse 20, where John says, all this work putting it up there, and I'm looking at it, and you're not even looking at it. Thank you, Levi, for telling me. Everyone's just kind of staring, and there's no words. I just seem kind of crazy because I'm pointing at the screen back there, and there's nothing up there. There is a point coming up there. Thank you, Levi. But John says in verse number 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." So that verse is packed full of truth, and we need to just unpack it a little bit to understand what John is saying. So we'll ask some questions to do that. And the first question that we have to ask as we come to that verse is, what is an unction? Right? John says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So the first question is, what is an unction? Does anyone know what an unction is? Oh, there we go. All right. If you have a different translation, it'll give you any other translation, I think, other than the King James, New King James, whatever, would say the word anointing. That's we don't really use the word unction anymore. Is that what you were going to say too, Phil? Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right. So it is an anointing. That's the idea. It's the Greek word charisma, and it has the idea of being anointed or unanointing. It refers to, you would often see, especially in the Old Testament, an anointing with oil, right? They would anoint the priests, they would anoint different vessels in the temple, and that anointing, what did that symbolize? What did the anointing symbolize? Okay, the Holy Spirit, that's often how we see it in the New Testament. That's the picture. We'll get to that in just a second. But when something or someone was anointed in the Old Testament, what was that for? All right, so there's a consecration there. That person is being set apart. It's that consecration, it's that setting apart, it's that empowerment by the Holy Spirit. That's often what we find with that word anointing. And so in the New Testament, as we see this word unction or charisma, as it's used, it is used metaphorically to describe the spiritual anointing that believers receive from God that imparts knowledge and discernment through the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's not a physical anointing. It's not that we're being anointed with oil, but it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We'll see that as we make our way through here. So the thought is this. The idea is that these false teachers deceive, and they try to lead us astray. But as true believers, as those of us that truly follow Jesus, you have been anointed. You have been consecrated. You have been set apart. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? So if an unction is the anointing, who is this anointing from? In verse 20, who's it from? All right, the Holy One. So that leads to the question, who is the Holy One? I'm going to give you a few verses, and you're going to tell me who the Holy One is. I'll put them up here. Let's see if I can get a few people to read some verses for me. Avery, you want to start? All right, Mark 1:24. You can read that one. Carrie, you want to do one? Acts 3:14. All right, we'll get the kids to do them. Sam, Acts 13:35. Seth, Revelation 3:7. Thanks. We got two girls on this side and two boys on that side. That's all I got for now. I'll have some more later though, Hunter, and I'm sure you can read one of those. All right, so when you get it, we're trying to understand who the Holy One is. I want you to read it out nice and loud, okay? So everyone can hear. So why don't we start with Avery in Mark 1, verse 24. Nice and loud. All right. So that was the unclean spirits that were being cast out. And he said, what do we have to do with you? Who? Jesus of Nazareth. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. All right? So who's that speaking of there, the Holy One? That's speaking of Jesus, all right? Let's do some more. Acts 3:14. All right, so that's Peter preaching to the crowd. He said, you denied the Holy One and allowed the murderer to be set free, Barabbas. So the Holy One, you denied Jesus and instead chose Barabbas, right? Acts 13:35. Sam? Okay, so again, the Holy One, that's a quote from the song. You won't allow your Holy One to see corruption. Seth? All right, so I think it's pretty clear here. We looked at a number of verses, but who's the Holy One? It's Jesus. That's what it's speaking of. So John is saying, we're putting this together and understanding what John is saying. You have an anointing, you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You, every believer, those of us who are Christians, have an anointing from Jesus Christ. Now, I just want us to see the contrast here because I think it's interesting what John is doing. We don't really see this in the English translation, but there's actually a little play on words that's going on in here. The very word Christ, does anyone know what the Greek word for Christ is? Any guesses? Okay, Christos, comes from the very same root word, kreo, comes from the very same root word as this word unction, or this word anointed. Therefore, Christ is the anointed one, right? That's the idea. Christ is the anointed one. And there's a few verses we can look up for that. So where's Hunter? Are you going to read one for me? All right, why don't you start with Luke 4:18? You're excited to read, so I'll let you do that one. Someone else get Acts 4, verse 26 through 27. Maybe someone that hasn't read yet. Michaela, thank you. Acts 4, 26 through 27, and Hebrews 1, verse 9. Christopher, you want to do that one? No. He's like, no, you guys already read. I need someone who hasn't read yet. Keith, all right, there we go. We'll finish off the kids with Keith. All right. Hunter, are you ready? So you read out Luke 4, verse 18. All right, so he's quoting an Old Testament prophecy there that he's been anointed to do these things. All right, Michaela, Acts chapter 4. All right, that's another reference to Jesus being anointed. And in Hebrews 1, verse 9. All right, so all of those verses, and there's more, that's just a few that we looked at, all refer to Jesus as being, Christ as being the original anointed one. So the Antichrist of verse number 18 are the anti-anointed ones, right? Christ is the anointed one. They're the anti-anointed ones. And then he says in verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So I think that's why John is using this language in verse number 20 for all Christians. You have an unction. You have an anointing from the Holy One, from the one who is anointed, and you know all things. In other words, you are not anti-anointed ones. You are the anointed ones. That's the idea. That's that little play on words that you see in there. You are anointed by the Holy Anointed One. So if they are against Jesus Christ, if they are anti-Jesus Christ, then they are also against you, right? Because you're also anointed ones. That's why they went out from you. Are you still with me? Have I lost you? All right. Jesus is the anointed one. We're anointed ones. They went out from us because they were anti-anointed ones. That's what proved that they were not with us. All right, so if Jesus was the anointed one, what was he anointed with? And this really gets down to the heart of it. So turn with me to Acts chapter 10, and we'll all just read here a couple of verses in Acts chapter 10. And we'll kind of bring this all together. Acts 10 and verse 38. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So what was Jesus anointed with? The Holy Spirit. That's what brings it all together here. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. And so this is what I believe 1 John 2 verse 20 to mean as we try to understand it, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. It means this: one of the defining marks of every true believer of God's is that Christ, God's anointed Holy One, has anointed us and causes us to know all things. That's the idea of the verse, that the anointed one has anointed us to know all things, and we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. So what are we going to know? He says you've been anointed to know all things. Well, just a couple of things here that we'll know. I think, first of all, John is emphasizing when he says you will know all things, that you've been anointed with the Holy Spirit to know all things. He's emphasizing that all believers, not just a select few, but that all believers have access to truth and understanding through the Holy Spirit. That we can all understand the truth through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I think that really contrasts with this, all of these false teachers that John was addressing in the letter, right? Because there's these Gnostics that claim that they have this special revelation, that they have a special knowledge, that they have a higher understanding. And John is saying, no, all believers have the same Spirit, so all believers can understand the truth of God's word. Because we all have the same Spirit. We all have the same. There's no special knowledge. There's no secret knowledge. And even in today's society, there are people that claim that they have this special understanding, this secret knowledge that nobody else has. And John says, no, we all have access to the truth because of the Holy Spirit. We can all understand all truth. He's saying you don't need special teachers, you don't need special gurus, you don't need special knowledge. If you remain in the truth of Christ, then you have everything that you need. You know all things. And even more specific than that, I think John is addressing, first of all knowledge, but it's even more specific than that. Look at verse, again, 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is the truth. What is the truth? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? What's the truth that they know? That Jesus is the Christ. He says you know that truth. He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. He says, this is what the enabling, the anointing enables you to know. You know that Jesus is the Christ. You have the Spirit that confesses to you that Jesus is the Christ. This anointing keeps you from believing the lie that Jesus is not God's anointed one. You know the truth. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, why does that matter? What's the big deal about these few little verses? Why make such a big deal? Well, I think it matters because of this. The Holy One, God's anointed one, is the Son of God. And if we deny that Jesus is God, then we deny the Father. That's what John is saying. That's why it's so important. There's all sorts of people there that believe that Jesus was a good person, that he was a good prophet, that he taught good things. But to deny the deity of Jesus Christ is to deny the Father. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And it's vital that we know that. That's why he says he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Which means that verse number 20 is how we know that Jesus is from God. He is God's Holy One, God's anointed one, God's Son. Without the anointing of the Spirit, we wouldn't know that truth, but the Spirit reveals it to us, and we understand that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that it's true. We treasure that because the Spirit's revealed it to us. You have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you all know this truth, that Jesus is truly the infinitely precious and true Son of God. That's who he is. You know that because the Spirit's revealed it. And then he says, let that abide in you. And we don't have time, but we're going to move into that and what that knowledge leads to. And that's the vital outworking of this. But he's saying, you understand. Let's just look up a couple more verses as we close this thought up and this idea of what the Holy Spirit helps us with. Two verses. John 16:13. Why don't we just turn there together? We'll look at all of these two verses together. John 16:13. This is the role of the Spirit that we've been anointed with. And there's lots that we could go to. I just chose two here that we're going to look at. The first one is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, teaches us truth. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So one of the works of the Holy Spirit, as we are anointed with it, with the Holy Spirit, is that he will come and he will teach us what is true. Right? That's what John is contrasting in these verses. What is false versus what is true. And because of the Holy Spirit, we can know what's true. And then one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then I'm just going to make a quick application from this, and then we'll be finished. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 12. So this Holy Spirit teaches us truth, and the Holy Spirit guards us from deception. Or he gives us the discernment to be able to recognize deception or falsehood. That's what we see here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the Holy Spirit gives us discernment from what is true. Remember, we said at the very beginning, and we've been working through that, all of these voices that we hear, some are true, some are false. How do we know? How do we know the difference? The Holy Spirit teaches us. He guides us into what is true. So what is the takeaway? And I know it's kind of confusing working through there a little bit, but what is the takeaway from all of this? Well, first of all, and we're not there yet, we'll get there soon, but John is leading us somewhere with all of this, that this anointing leads us to abide in Christ. That's what we'll get to by the end of this chapter. That this knowledge that the Spirit leads us to gives us great confidence and great assurance that we know that we are in Christ. And He's leading us in that way, but here the evening, the takeaway is this: if we are in Christ, then we have everything we need to know the truth and stand in the truth. We have everything we need. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing. We have the presence and the empowering and the work of the Spirit in our life. We know the truth because the Spirit teaches it to us, and He leads us in it, and He illumines it to us, that we can know the truth because of the work of the Spirit. Listen, we don't need to rely on somebody else to teach us. We can know it for ourselves. There's a lot of people that are relying on people and teachers to teach them the truth. We don't have to rely on anybody else. We have the Spirit. We can understand. The Spirit can illumine God's word to us. He teaches us truth. He guards us from deception, false teaching. He gives us discernment. We can rely on Him. We don't need some sort of special knowledge. We don't need some sort of special teacher. We have everything we need in Christ right now. That's where John is going with this. We have an unction. We have the anointing from the Holy One, that ye may know all things. We have the Spirit. He guides us. He directs us. He illumines the Word. We have everything we know to need the truth. So we need to rely on that. And we need to dig in for ourselves and allow the Spirit to illumine the truth to us, the Word to us, and make our way through there.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of His Word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.